Hello, we are in Denmark, Martinus Center in Klint, 100 kilometers from Copenhagen. Today is the 28th of July, 2008. I'm going to give a lecture with the title Understanding Eternity. Here we go.
Yes, this lecture will be interpreted into different languages. And as you can see, in Danish, Channel 2, but Swedish in Channel 4. It's written English, but tonight it's Swedish in Channel 4 and German Channel 5. The title of the lecture this evening is Understanding Eternity. And the big question is if eternity can be understood. And shortly I would put it this way, that eternity cannot be understood with intelligence, but eternity can be understood with intuition. And this about eternity is something very, very important in the cosmology of Martinus. We have heard there have been many different world pictures during the times, the old Egyptians and the Romans and the Greeks, and also in modern time, and it seems as if we get one world picture after the other. But Martinus speaks about an eternal world picture, an unchangeable, actually an absolute world picture. And I guess that's something new. And this is also the big difference between spiritual science and natural science. This is this notion of eternity. All Martinus' analysis, he is always working inside it in an eternal framework. So it's very important to understand the logics in Martinus' cosmology. I would also just like here in the beginning to say, maybe you have got this impression that eternity and infinity is something that you shall find outside in the world, out there, or maybe you think that eternity is a very long time, or infinity, it has to do with very long distances. But Martinus explains that you have the eternity inside yourself. That's very interesting if you sort of are seeking the eternity or trying to understand the eternity. It's very important to understand that you have this eternity inside yourself. And some people have had cosmic glimpses, some have experienced these near-death experiences, or maybe they've had some meditation, and they sort of have got this feeling, I am immortal. And they have had this feeling of this fixed point in themselves, there's something eternal, unchangeable in themselves. And in a way, it is possible, with some intuition, to experience the eternity inside yourself. The natural science works with created things or temporal things, things that have had a begin and things that will have an end. And the big difference between spiritual science and natural science is that Martinus is also working with eternal phenomena. That means that there are some thing or some phenomena that has no beginning, and therefore there is no cause, they just simply exist. In natural science, they are the first law of thermodynamics, is the law of conservation of energy. And it tells us in a closed system, the sum of energy is constant. That means energy cannot come out of nothing, and you cannot destruct energy. Energy can be changed from one form to another, but you cannot reduce the amount of energy, and you cannot make energy out of nothing. There has been a lot of attempts to create an eternal machine, a machine that can produce energy in all eternity. But maybe you can discover new energy sources, but energy is just something that exists. You could ask, tell me, why does the energy exist? And Martinus' answer is, it just simply exists. It merely exists. And somebody thinks that's a silly answer. But you can ask, why does this table exist? Why does the painting exist? Why does the loudspeaker exist? And you can always give a reason, because all created things have had a beginning. And then you can create, then you can explain how they were created. There is a cause to the existence of all temporal things, of all created things. And then we've got so used to it, there must be an explanation of the origin of all existing things. But that's what is so special about Martinus' cosmology. And in order to understand Martinus' cosmology, it's so important to distinguish between created things and eternal things. And if you don't do that, you will make what Martinus calls tankedrill, that is, delusional thinking or confused thinking. You will get into some illogical thinking. So it's very important to distinguish between eternal things and created things. And I guess that the closest that natural science gets to eternity is this law of conservation of energy. Because if you can agree on the sum of energy is constant, then you could also say that energy is eternal. Then for the scientists, the question is, if the whole universe can be considered as a closed system, they think that the universe has a limited size, but Martinus thinks that the universe is has no end, there's no limits to the universe. So in a way, you could regard the infinite universe as a closed system, because there's nothing outside. If you include everything that exists, there cannot be anything outside. So for that reason, the whole universe ought to be a closed system. So you can only say energy exists. You cannot explain it. It just simply exists. But natural science, they think that life has had an origin. At a certain point in time, life originated. And they also think at a certain time, at a certain point in time, the universe was created. So they think the universe was created, life was created. They regard the whole universe and life as a temporal thing, as a created thing. But Martinus regards the whole universe and life as an eternal, as eternal phenomena. And this is very important. You could say natural science has got a big problem to explain, how did life originate? How was life created? They have still not given a logical explanation of how dead molecules turned into molecules with consciousness, how the dead physical matter turned into a living being with consciousness. It has not been explained yet. And Martinus don't think they ever will explain it. But I mean, the natural science is not so perfect. It has still not done its job fully, because we are still missing this explanation. How can consciousness come out of something dead? You could also say that consciousness is the same as the ability to manifest, the ability to create, and the ability to experience. And this is a very special phenomenon, that you can act, you can manifest yourself, you can experience. When did this phenomena begin? When was it created? And it's really difficult to explain how this can come from some dead matter. But Martinus simply thinks that life eternally exists, that also consciousness eternally exists. Life is just something that is. There is not more to explain from the side of Martinus. I mean, if you say the sum of energy is constant, the energy is eternal, what more can you explain? There is not more to be explained, because there is no cause. It's just simply something that exists. And you could talk about what is real. I think what is real is that life exists. I am a living being. Everybody can say that. That is the reality. And then Martinus tries to explain how life is constructed, how life works and how life can be experienced. So Martinus has just to explain this eternally existing phenomenon. And Martinus can sort of agree with natural science or opposite that energy is something eternally existing. But Martinus thinks that consciousness and life is also eternally existing. It cannot be explained because there is no cause. And Martinus has tried to describe the structure of the living being. And here we have a symbol on the wall. This is symbol number 6 from the Eternal World Picture 1. And then he has divided, in his explanation, he has divided the living being into 3 parts. But he says the living being is an undividable unity. You cannot separate. The living being is a unity. The living being does not consist of 3 parts. There is only 1 part, 1 unity. But if you have to explain how life is working, you have to give an explanation. And this explanation Martinus calls an analysis. So in the analysis, you can divide a living being into 3 different parts. And he talks about the creator, the creative power, and the created result. And he also talks about X1, X2, X3. So the white triangle on the top, that is the creator, or the self, the I, or X1. And the part in the middle with the violet color, this is the X2, this is the creative power, and also the ability to experience life. And part 3 is the created result. So Martinus has to start his analysis somewhere, and then he starts with that what exists and what actually is existing. Martinus says that there are a lot of contrasts. Something can be warm and something can be cold. A thing can be green or red. You can be happy or unhappy. You can only experience one thing if you have experienced the opposite. How would you know if you were happy, if you have not been unhappy before? How do you know it is very hot in this lecture hall tonight? How do you know that it is hot? Because you have experienced when it was cold. So you can only experience one thing if you have experienced the opposite. All life experience is based on contrasts. And actually, we have such a cartotheque of life. We have all our memories. Each time when we make an experience, we compare to all the previous experiences. And then we can decide if we are happy or unhappy, if it's cold or... But if you take all the contrasts together, they will take each other out and there will be nothing. If you take +1 and -1 and put them together, you will get a 0. If you take +17 and -17, you will get a 0. If you take an electrical charge with a charge +1 and put it together with a charge of -1, they will also become 0. So every time when 2 contrasts are meeting, the result will be 0. So that Martinus say what exists, that is the divine something. That's the only thing that exists. But it contains all contrasts. But you cannot experience everything at one moment. You cannot be happy and unhappy at the same moment. It cannot be cold and warm at the same moment. So you cannot experience everything at one time. But you can experience the different contrasts on different times. So in order to be able to experience this divine something, Martinus talks about what exists objectively seen. That is the divine something that contains all contrasts. But as it has all contrasts, it's neither the one or the other. It has no characteristics. So to our senses, it is nothing. But in reality, it is everything. It can be a little bit difficult, but there is a good analogy with the white light. If you take the white light, it seems as if there are no colors. But if you send the white light through a prism. You will get all the different colors of the spectra. So it's quite interesting that it seems as if there is no colors in the white light, but in fact it contains all colors. And in a way, it's the same with this divine something, X1, the creator. This is existing, but to the senses, it's nothing. So Martinus talks about that this divine something that just simply exists is immaterial. It is not a nothing. It is a nothing to our senses, but absolutely seen, it's not nothing. It's everything. It's a contrast. So it can be a little bit difficult to understand. And then Martinus says that we have a principle of perspective, which makes it possible to experience this X1. So in a way, you should have this X1 that is existing divided into the different contrasts. Just like you cannot see any color, but if the white light passes through a prism, you can see all the colors. So in the same way, the divine, something that exists, should also pass a cosmic prism. And when the divine eye, the divine self, X1, is divided by X2, X2, the middle part, is this cosmical prism, then this divine something is divided in the 6 basic energies and in the 6 planes of existence. So you can sort of experience life seen through red glasses in the plant kingdom. And then you can experience life in the animal kingdom. Then you can see life through orange glasses. And in the real human kingdom, you can see the life through yellow glasses. So, and you can see the life through green, blue, and indigo glasses. So in a way, you are never experiencing the absolute reality. You're always looking upon a part of life through colored glasses. Here is a green shirt. Why is this shirt green? Because the red light is absorbed and extinguished. So you can experience one contrast when you have removed the other contrast. And that is also a part of this principle of perspective. On the roadside, you can have a lot of trees. And the trees that are near you, it seems as if they're very big. And then the trees far away near the horizon is very small. So what is near is dominating. You sort of overvalue, overestimate things that is close to you and underestimate or undervalue things that are far away. So in a way, the eternal life is a journey through the consciousness of God. And then you are sort of overestimating the energies in your plane of existence and underestimating the others. And for that reason, it is this principle of contrast that makes it possible to experience this X1. If I should put Martinus' world picture give a very short overview or concentrated overview over the Martinus cosmology, I would explain it from 3 of his basic principles. Martinus is talking about cosmical laws and cosmical principles that have an eternal existence. And he says, it is necessary with contrasts. Without contrasts, you cannot experience life. So the principle of contrasts is necessary for life experience. Then he is talking about cycles. We have the cycle of day and night. We have the cycle of the year. And in every cycle, there are 2 contrasts, light and darkness. And the 3rd principle, the cosmical principle, that is the principle of hunger and satiation. And that means that when you are satiated from one contrast, you are longing for the opposite contrast. I guess now you are sort of fed up or satiated with heat. Is it warm enough here in the lecture hall? I guess so. So you are sort of longing for, it could be a little bit cooler. But I mean, in wintertime, you have the opposite wishes. So the eternal life is based on eternal life experience. And in a way, life experience is an eternal Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, because All your wishes are fulfilled, eternally seen. Small children, they are writing a list of wishes which are fulfilled at their birthday or at Christmas Day. But in a way, and it's fantastic for the children. I still remember how difficult it was for me to sleep the night before my birthday. I was thinking all the time of all the presents I should have. So that was really a big thing to have all these presents given that I wished. But it's so inspiring. The eternal life is an eternal fulfilling of wishes. When you are satiated from one contrast, you are longing for the opposite. Martinus also speaks about you can see life from two perspectives. You can see it from an eternal point of view and from a temporal point of view. From if you see life from an eternal point of view, it doesn't change. Because if it's eternally the same, it doesn't change. Also, for that reason, Martinus says, in this I that is eternal, there is no changes. If there could be one single movement in this X1 or XI, there was one movement, then there had been a change. Then it was not the same. Then it's temporal. Then it's not eternal. So if a thing should eternally be the same, there cannot be any movement. It must be absolutely still. There can be no changes there. So from one point of view, the eternal life is sort of monotonous because you are experiencing light and darkness, light and darkness, light and darkness. But the thing is, when you're satiated with one contrast, you are allowed to experience the opposite. So for that reason, the driving force in all evolution is your own wishes. You are not pushed through the cosmic spiral cycle. You only develop because you want it or you wish it yourself. And in order to have an eternal life, it is also necessary that you for all eternity have access to both contrasts. In Buddhism or Hinduism, they are talking about an eternal nirvana. And in Christianity, about an eternal paradise. But Martinus thinks that Buddha and Jesus, they were cosmic conscious, and they knew much more than they could tell. But for the people who lived at that time, it was enough to talk about a local goal in the evolution, that you should go to paradise. But Martinus explains you cannot experience paradise for eternity. In the beginning, you can remember the physical world, and then you can appreciate paradise. But as time passed by, according to the principle of perspective, the darkness gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then there's only light, 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 and then you would be blinded. So for that reason, it is necessary to have access to both contrasts for all eternity. You could also say, in a way, that the eternal life has an eternal breath. You're breathing in and breathing out. Or you could also say, just like with your heart, the eternal life has a pulse. The heart is pumping the blood around, and it is expanding and contracting. So in the same way, you are also sort of, you could say, you are breathing in spiritual matter and breathing out spiritual matter. Or you could say you are breathing in light and breathing out light. It seems a little monotonous, but that's because this is the analysis seen in the eternal perspective. But in the temporal perspective, it looks from another point. But the eternal life is an eternal journey towards the light. Because when you are satiated from one thing, you experience it as darkness. And when you are longing for the thing, it is in front of you and it is light. So also when living beings from the spiritual world are going into the physical world, they feel it as paradise because they are longing for the physical world. I guess the human beings on planet Earth today, they are sort of satiated with the animal kingdom and are longing for the spiritual worlds. So for that reason, when we are longing for the spiritual worlds, it's difficult to understand that some are satiated with the spiritual world. But nonetheless, that's the way. So eternal life is wonderful because your own wishes are driving you forward and all your wishes are fulfilled. I would like to show one symbol by Martinus, and if I could have some help. Yeah, I had been thinking of another symbol, but life decided that it should be this symbol. Thank you very much. This is the very first symbol that Martinus has drawn. It's just simply a triangle. And as I said, Martinus, in his work, explains the construction of life and the function of life. And in this explanation, he has divided the living being into three parts. He is speaking about a triune principle. And you could say the living being consists of X1, X2, and X3. So for that reason, in Martinus' symbols, the triangle is the symbol of the living being. But in another way, it's also a symbol of X1. And here he has written a short explanation to this symbol. And the reason why I'm showing it is that Martinus introduced a new concept or a new notion 2 years before he died. He started to write about 0x. And that's Martinus was writing a book with the title The Third Testament. And the last 10 years he worked on that book, and he did not really finish the book. But before he died, he changed his mind and decided that the Book of Life in 7 volumes should be published once again in a public publishing house, Bones Publishers. And now, for the first time, under the title, The Third Testament. And Martinus signed the contract with the publisher. But Martinus passed over in March 81, and the book was published in November 81. Half a year after Martinus' death, this book, The Third Testament, was published. So he didn't see it himself. But for that reason, that book could not be called The Third Testament, because he decided not only the Book of Life, his whole work should be The Third Testament. And then he had also called this book The Intellectualized Christianity. The Intellectualized Christianity. Martinus thinks that in the beginning, yes, Christianity was a world religion. But when you introduce the eternity in the Christianity turns into a science. Because yesterday we heard an excellent lecture from Magdalena Rosell, who was talking about what is science, what is spiritual science, what is natural science, and is there something like an absolute truth? And there are many different opinions about that, and there are many criterias. When is a thing a fact? When is it real? When is it proven? When can it be accepted? And there are some modern philosophers who think that a thing or a phenomenon is true, an explanation, a theory is true if it makes sense. If it makes sense. I myself have been occupied a lot about with intelligent design and this theory of creation. And then also Darwinism, which is the theory of evolution. And if you talk about intelligent design and talk about a theory of creation, there is a sense behind, there is a meaning, there is a reason why you make this creation. So there, this creation makes sense. But in natural science, with Darwinism, they think it's so religious to talk about sense. They think there is absolutely no sense in what happens in the physical world. The evolution is due to mutation that takes place by chance, and then the natural selection. So then it's sort of forbidden to talk about sense in natural science. They think it is so religious to talk about sense. But the point of this lecture is, if you introduce eternity, life makes sense. If we only have one life, you would say life is an absurd theater. There is no meaning. Some children are born with a good health. Some children are born disabled. Some people are born in rich countries. Some people are born in poor countries. There is no justice in life if we only have one life. There is absolutely no justice in life. And then it is true, life is an absurd theater. There is no sense in life. But if you introduce eternity, in the simplest way, Martinus has made an analysis of the living being, saying the living being have two sides. There is an eternal side and a temporal side. So the living being is a very strange construction. It's a construction that doesn't exist in the created world, because all things in the created world has a beginning and an end. If you have a rope or a cable or something with a begin here, you can follow it. It must have an end. Everything that has a begin here in the created world has an end. But if you take a living being, you could take the created body and say, okay, the living being has a begin here. But then if this living being has an eternal side, there is no end. And it is so difficult to understand how it is possible to have such a creature that has on one side a temporal side, a created side, but in the same unity also an eternal side. But Martinus speaks about evolution takes place due to experiences. Every time when you've practiced, you have developed. So experiences and praxis develops you. But it would be wasted with a one-life theory. But Martinus says, we have an eternal part also. So the result, the essence of all training and praxis, the essence of all experiences can be stored in the eternal part of the living being. And then the living being can be born with all the talents and capabilities and abilities that it has created itself in its previous lives. And that makes sense. In the 46 chromosomes of the human beings, there is an enormous amount of information. And then you can ask, how has this information come around? And the answer is, it has been created by mutations, by chance, and also natural selection, survival of the fittest. But if you are working with information technology, you know that the cause of information cannot be hazardous changes. It cannot take place by chance. If you have a computer, you want it filled with information, you have to use your consciousness in order to fill it with information. So it is a very strange theory. We are born with chromosomes that contains an enormous amount of information. Okay, then during the whole life, we are collecting experiences. We are training, we are practicing. And what is happening with this collection when we die? Maybe I could become a genius in chess playing, or a genius in math, and maybe I could teach other people a little bit about chess or math. But actually, when I'm dying, I'm taking all my talents with me in the grave. So it is sort of wasted. That means all the information that you collect during your lifetime is wasted. It disappears in the blue air. So isn't that a very strange theory? You start life with an enormous amount of information in your genes. Where does this come from? Out of the blue air. And when you die, what happens to all the information you have collected your whole life? It disappears in the blue air. I guess that is two totally absurd theories. But it makes sense if the living being is eternal. If the living being has a part that is eternal, then you can store all these talents in the eternal part of the living being. And Martinus explains that we have this X1, which is the self, the X1, the creator, and the second part, the X2, which is the creative power, these two parts are eternal, and only X3 is temporal, is all things that you can experience, you will experience them in X3. Or if you look at the symbol here on the wall, you can say X1, the divine something that exists, can be experienced in X3. X3 is the world of movements, and that is where you are experiencing the things. But you see, there are some round crops in this violet area, and that is the talent kernels. So the results of the experiences can be stored in the eternal part, and then it makes sense. So in a way, Martinus talks about a gradual evolution. Then you might conclude, oh, then Darwin is right. The Darwinists are right, because Martinus is also talking about a gradual evolution. But Martinus is also talking about evolution only takes place thanks or due to the consciousness. So there is also a consciousness behind the evolution. And in that way, it's also true, sort of, that the creation of the bodies is a result of intelligent design. It's a result of consciousness. So both parts have partial true explanation. But Martinus has the total overview and can show, yes, there is something with consciousness in the evolution. Yes, the evolution takes place gradually. But now, yes, I would also say that this white light, X1, can be divided through the cosmic prism into the six basic energies in the six different colors. So everything that exists in X3 is temporal. All creative things are temporal. So the whole X3 is eternally changing. But from one point, X3 is also eternal. It's a kind of a paradox. Every single existing thing in X3 is temporal. It's changing. But X3 as a whole is eternal. The sum of energy is eternal. So that's a kind of paradox. All creative things, all temporal things exist in X3. But X3 as a whole is eternally existing. And Martinus has also talked about simply something that he called an X-analysis. An X-analysis. And that is an analysis which ends up with, this is just something that exists. Why does the energy exist? It's just something that exists. So X3 is just something that exists. So in a way, you could say X3 is the sum of all contrasts that exist. But Martinus also says about the divine something, X1, the stillness. Why does it exist? It just simply exists. And that's also an X-analysis. If we talk about X2, the creative power, you could ask, where does the creative power originate from? When was the creative power created? If the created power should have had a begin, have had a start, there could not have been a previous creative power. You can only create a creative power with a creative power. So for that reason, you can understand the creative power must also be eternal. It must also have an eternal existence. Why does the creative power exist? Why does X2 exist? It just exists. So that means for X1 and X2 and X3, you can say it's just something that exists. So in a way, X1, X2 and X3 as a whole have the same analysis. It's just something that exists. And now it was quite interesting that Martinus, when he was writing this book, The Third Testament, The Intellectualized Christianity, at the end of the book, it was in paragraph 134, 135, to our big surprise, he introduced a new concept, a new notion, zero X. And in a way, he described this zero X as something that exists, as the immaterial that exists, or the eye of the universe. And now I make this equation. That is my understanding of Martinus' use of this 0x. In a way, 0x is x1 plus x2 plus x3. Does that make sense? If you take x1, x2, and x3, what would you get? You would get 0x. But actually, I think previously in his literature, Martinus had used this equation. And I guess most people here would think that's illogical. x1 is the same as x1 plus x2 plus x3. You think that's nonsense. Such an equation cannot be true. But in a way, what is written on the left side is just something that is equals something that is. Because these are only x analysis. The result is only something that is. But to some people, it was quite nice if you could have these two notions. So in a way, it was interesting that Martinus introduced the 0x. You could also talk about the initial emptiness. There is a lecturer and a writer called Per Brus Jensen, and he has written a book in Danish, I begyndelsen var tomheden. Maybe you could translate it into the initial emptiness. And some people think it is a stupid title because the eternal life has no beginning. So it's stupid to talk about something initial as if it had a begin. And emptiness, that is nothing. But here you have to understand that if we are talking about a begin, it can be a beginning in time. When did the summer begin? When did this center begin? You have a beginning in time. That's one thing. But another thing is the begin of an analysis. So there is also sort of a logical begin. When would you start your analysis of life? Where should you start the analysis of life? And then Martinus says, he starts his analysis with the divine something that exists, that is the sum of all things that are existing. And then you sort of get something that is immaterial. And that would be what we could call 0x. 0x exists before we have started the analysis of x1, x2, and x3. Because x1, x2, and x3, there's three analyses. But what was before you started to analyze? And that is sort of the initial emptiness. Before you start, there is only this initial emptiness. Not a beginning in time, but the beginning of the analysis. And I show this symbol because it was the very first symbol that Martinus has drawn. And he speaks about the causeless cause, or the first cause, or the something that is making this triune principle. And somebody would then also ask, why, yes, people know from my lectures, it's pretty bad when I'm starting to look at the clock because time is running away and it's so hot here. But I think it's just your bad karma. You have to sit here in this heat and listen to a two-hour-long lecture. Somebody has also asked, why didn't Martinus write x0? I mean, you have x1, x2, x3. Why don't you write x0? But Martinus has made an analysis of 0. And he has made an analysis of the whole number system. That is the last 50 pages of third volume of Livets Bog. And there he has made a lot of analysis. You could say the numbers. We have sort of 10 letters. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. And then you can say 10, 11. If you take the 0 in 10, this is also counting, sort of. It is also a counting unit. But Martinus is writing a lot about you could put a 0 in front of. In Denmark, I got notes in school, and we had a scale, and the very highest note were 13. I never saw it in my books, but I've heard about it. So this is the top notes you could get in the Danish school. And then we had two very bad notes that were 3 and 0. But I mean, if you should go to your parents and show your notebook, couldn't you be tempted just to put 1 in front of the 0? Then it looks as if you've got 10. Or even if you put 1 in front of your 3, if you got the bad note 3, just put 1 in front of, and then you've got the very best note. So you could be tempted to cheat. Or even if you have got a nice diploma for your education. So in order to stop this, you always wrote the note 03 or 00. And many people thought it looked very strange. But in a way, Martino thinks you ought to write a 0 in front of all. We have a cycle of the 1s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Then you also have a cycle of the 10s. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90. And then you come to the cycle of the 100s. So here you can see when a 0 is put in front of, you have not yet started the cycle. Unfortunately, when you get these notes, 00 and 03, unfortunately, you have not yet started the cycle of the 10s. You are still in the cycle of the 1s, sort of. So that means when you put a 0 in front of, this 0 has the same analysis as x1. This is also like the divine something before it is split, before it is divided into the different contrasts. So for that reason, it must be 0x and not x0, because this is what is before we start the analysis. What is it before we start the cycle of the 10? Then there is only a 0. So putting the 0 in front of, you have stated there is something here, but you don't really know what it is because it has not started yet. And for that reason, Martinus chose to write 0x, because this 0 indicates you have not yet started the triune principle. You have not yet seen x1, x2, x3. And you could sort of say, if you have a creator with a creative power, it's nonsense if there is nothing created. Or if you have material in which you can create and you have a creative power, it's absurd if you don't have a creator. So I mean, when you have x1 and x2, x3 will pop up. Or x2 and x3 doesn't make any sense if you don't have x1. So these three x's are connected to each other. But I guess you could turn it out, put it out, yeah. So this analysis of the eternity is the backbone of Martinus' cosmology. I think one of the very big things in Martinus' cosmology is that he has succeeded to defend the darkness. He had explained the darkness. Why does sufferings exist, the darkness exist? Why? With his analysis, he has shown it is necessary with contrasts. And I also guess if you sort of become conscious about your eternal eye and can see life from an eternal point of view. I have seen some programs in television about people who have had near-death experiences. And they have experienced that they are immortal, which means they have eternal life and they are totally changed. It is such a fantastic experience. It's so strong. And in Denmark, there was a woman called Nielsen or something. She even turned into a priest that changed her whole life, because from that point, she was not afraid of death. She knew she was eternal. And sometimes we have small problems, but we make them very big. But if you get this feeling, I am eternal, who cares? I mean, then it's very, what you think is big problems, in a way are very small problems. You think, oh, shall I have this problem 2 years or shall I have this problem 10 years? It's terrible. But if you get this feeling, I am eternal, you might even see a life, that's just 1 second, that's nothing. And also, if you think the world is unjust, if you're rich in one life, maybe you will become poor in another life. I mean, if you can see the whole life in the light of the eternity, you can see its justice all over. So due to these analyses of the I which exists eternally, you can understand. And for that reason, Martinus could also conclude that everything is very good. There is something that is very unpleasant, sort of something very bad. But he justifies it because if there was no contrasts, there were no life, it is an advantage for the living being with light and darkness. If you took one contrast away, there was no life. So absolutely, it is an advantage for living beings with contrasts. So, and darkness is the same important as light. Unhappiness is the same important as happiness. So you have to have both contrasts. So there are unpleasant things, but they are good. And on a shorter term, as you heard in the lecture this morning, the result of sufferings are that you develop your body of feeling. If you study at university, you can improve your intelligence through studies. But can you also improve your feelings during studies? No, life has to be felt in order to develop your feelings. And the result of all the sufferings, the result of experiencing all the pleasant, unpleasant things is compassion, humanity, and neighborly love. So in that way, Martinus can defend the existence of the darkness. And lastly, I would say, why do we need these very theoretical things? I think they are necessary in order to understand that life is 100% just. It can seem very theoretical, but one thing that is very important, that is that this divine something is in all living beings, and the whole universe is also living beings. So the I, the divine something in all the single individuals, makes the eye of the whole universe. So God's eye as a self, or the eye of the whole universe, is made by all the single individual, the eyes of them. So in a way, if I say about an Atman, he's a zero, he's nothing, you wouldn't say that if you really understood, I have an eternal eye and he has an eternal eye. And they are melting together, they are merging together to the same eye. This feeling of oneness is a consequence of these analyses of X1. Martinus has made that an analogy. If you take a strong light and then you have a ball, a shell around, and if there's a lot of small holes, you will see a lot of individual light beams. So in a way, there is a lot of individuals. But in a way, there is only one light. So it is a kind of a paradox. How is it possible that the universe has an I, a self, and it is the only I? There is only one I. But on the other side, there is a lot of individuals that also have an individual I. But maybe you can get this analogy. In the center, there is only one light, but this one I is divided into a lot of individual light beams, into a lot of individual eyes. And in the same way, it is this X2, which is the same cosmic prism that can divide the eye of the God in many individual eyes. And it's also the same that can divide the divine something in everything that exists. So hopefully, these analyses of X1 could make you feel one with all other living beings and one with God. Thank you for your attention.